If God were to speak to you, what do you think he would say? If God were to speak to you, how would you know he was speaking to you? Do you think if he spoke to you, it would be scary? Encouraging? Do you think he'd be angry? Loving? Kind? Threatening? Some people will tell you, and it's true, that you can talk to God by praying. But how does he talk back? How do we know if he's speaking to us? Are we supposed to hear something audibly? Are we supposed to get some kind of feeling? How do we know that if we think certain things, that it's God speaking to us and not just our own imaginations? Some people will tell you, and it's true, that God speaks to us through the Bible. The problem is that for so many of us, we use the Bible sort of like we use an owner manual in a car. It's kind of there in the glove compartment. And when something goes wrong and we're not sure what to do, we dig it out and look for an answer. And then we put it back and wait for another problem. There's a word that was used in Jesus' day, not just the Jewish culture of which Jesus was part of, but also the Greeks. And the word is word. The word in Greek was logos. It meant a lot of things for a lot of different people. But it is a word that is used in the book of John, John chapter 1. It's a history-changing word. We heard it read already from John chapter 1. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. For the Greeks, logos, the Word, was a divine principle. It was the ordering reality of everything that was. Maybe you remember from high school studying Plato and the Greek philosophers who thought that we lived in sort of a shadowy version of reality. They had all philosophies about what held everything together. They believed that the things that we see around us and touch around us weren't fully real. They were just shadowy depictions of what really was real. And they used this term, the logos, the word, to be that one thing that holds all things together, reason. Not just word that was said, but even word that existed as a thought in people's minds. For the Jews, they believed that logos, the word, was God speaking. When he spoke creation into being, when he said, let there be light, and there was light. They believed that God's word was the law that was given to them. They believed that the word was God's voice coming to them through prophets throughout history. They believed that God's word was scripture, their Bible, a book that told them about God. It was a book that brought light to their path. But when we read in John that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, then we come to another small word that changes history. It said, he was in the beginning with God. God's word is a he. But who? Who is the he? Who is the word that was in the beginning and was with God and was God? John 14 says this, and the word, the logos, became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We see that this he, referring to Jesus, the birth of our Savior, the birth of our Lord, the he is the Word who became flesh. The he is God himself. The he is God stepping into humanity. And amazing that the Word, the Logos, the fulfillment of all the prophecy that they were waiting for, became something. Isn't that amazing? That God became something? We read even in that first chapter of John that the Word was something. The Word is something. Even that the Word will do certain things. But become? God himself would become something that he wasn't already? That he would change his form? To think that God would have to change, that he would need to change, that he would be willing to change. And that in his changing, in his becoming, he would never go back. He would be altered forever. And what does he become? A human being. Think about it. God's word, God's communication, God's revelation of himself. What would he become to get his message across? That he would become a human being. If you think about it, it makes sense. The only being, the only creation, the only thing that he made in his own image. And in order to reveal himself, he would become a human being. It makes sense that he would, to reach humanity, become one of them, showing the true nature of God and the true relationship that he wants to have with humanity. And so it said, the Word, the eternal Word of God would now become. And what would he become? He became flesh. Amazing that in the Greek language, there are a number of words that could have been used here. It could have been that the Word became a man. There's a word for man, but it's not the word that's used here. It could be that it was said that the Word became body. There was a different word for that. But instead, here, what we read is that the Word became flesh. He became meat. The divine Logos, the divine Word, infinite Word of God, wrapped up now in meat. It's a crass term showing that the spiritual has become physical in the most raw and basic of terms. What does that mean about the message? God's word, God's self-revelation, God communicating with us. It means this, that the audible word has become physical, that the law has become grace, that the promises of God have become fulfillment, that heaven has come to earth, the divine has been brought to humanity, the shadow has turned to light, the Bible has become a person, the immeasurable has become measurable, the infinite has become finite. Why? Why would word become flesh? Because it is God coming to intersect with the lives of people in a specific point in history, in one place, at one time, through one race, one gender, and one body, so that he could give life to every person, in every place, at all times, of all races and every gender. It is crass, and it is humble. But you know what? It makes sense. God's primary way of communicating to us is not just by sending an instruction manual, not just in an audible voice that is there 1 second and gone the next, but the Creator becomes part of his creation. The giver becomes the gift. And John says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus has come to proclaim the message of God, to embody the message of God. And what is it? It is that God has come to dwell with us, full of grace and full of truth. You know, sometimes when we read that Jesus came full of grace and truth, we think that grace is what we want to hear and truth is that which we don't want to hear. And Jesus comes and balances them together. It's not true. He is full of grace. He is full of truth. And when we read those terms, they're actually not theoretical terms. They're incredibly relational terms. They're actually words that pick up on God's revelation to Moses. You see, once Moses wanted to see God, he wanted to know who he was. And God said, you're not going to be able to handle it, but I will pass by and I will tell you who I am, what my character is. It's found in Exodus chapter 34. Chapter 34, verse 5, it says, the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name or the character of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. We read the character of God, and the words that we read in John correspond to these two words, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That's what the grace and the truth is, a love that runs so deep, and not just truth abstractly, but truth in relationship, faithfulness. God's saying, you can count on me. I'll be here for you. I will be faithful. And in Exodus, we read that God will not just ignore evil. He will not ignore the things that are wrong in this world. He is forgiving, and yet he can't just turn a blind eye. What good would a Savior be if he did nothing about evil? And yet Jesus comes to fulfill that character. And to do it, he doesn't ignore evil. Instead, he takes all the evil upon himself, full of grace, full of that steadfast love that says he is willing to take our penalty. He is willing to take our darkness. The giver would become the gift. So relational, forgiving, and even coming to embody the message that he is the light that dispels the darkness in our world. Even when that meant that he would take the darkness on himself, on the cross. He is truly an amazing God. Word become flesh. So relational that we might know him. So relatable. He came to endure what we have endured, to be what we are, and to fulfill all that we could not. The other way that John puts it, and we see here today represented in this candle, and we've seen it already in readings and our songs, that Jesus is the light in the darkness, coming to enlighten everyone. And C.S. Lewis puts it this way. He says that light changes everything, not only because we see the light, but because by the light we see everything else. And that is the message of Jesus Christ, that as he came into this world, we see not only Jesus, the most perfect picture of a relational, loving, gracious God, but it then changes all of our perspective, and we see everything else differently by that light. He enlightens our lives, our marriages, our families, our relationships, our work, and our world. The light of Jesus makes everything else come into focus. We know that we now not only have a book about God, but we can experience God in our lives. We have seen the true picture of him, not just work, not just in writing, but in the flesh. Not just in black and white, but in brilliant color. Not just in theory, but in experience. He has become relatable, reachable, relational. Amazing. That God's primary carrier of his message would become the body of Jesus. And what is the message? Why would he go to that length? The message is this, that he wants his love and his presence to characterize your life, our lives, and this world. That's the message of the Word becoming flesh. The infinite becoming finite. God with us. And tonight, in this quiet place, we remember this amazing message. And we are reminded that into our darkness came light. into this silence when we wondered, what would God be like? What would it be like if God spoke to me? We see Jesus. We experience him. We can know what God is like, and we can celebrate that he is full of grace and full of truth. He is the light of our lives. Christmas is the time when God came to intersect with humanity by coming down to our level, by speaking to us in the most clearest of terms. It was Christmas Eve, 1906, when the first AM transmission went out. Up to that point, there were radio transmissions, but it had been limited to Morse code. There was a man named Reginald Fessenden, and he was the inventor of it. He was actually one of the chief inventors for Thomas Edison, and he had been working on radio transmissions so that they could communicate with ships, especially ones that were way out in the Atlantic, that there was no communication. And up to 1906, Christmas Eve of 1906, the only transmission that they could get across through the radio was this Morse code, was every once in a while this ship captain who was out miles and miles and miles out in the ocean just hearing a little beep, 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 beep. But on Christmas Eve, 1906, Reginald Fessenden had souped up his new invention, his next release. Spread about him in the room were large machines of unusual construction, coils of wire, large condensers, a panel board, motors, and multitude of meters. Fessenden moved to a large knife switch, dominating the control panel. He murmured a silent prayer and closed it. The building lights dimmed as a large motor broke the silence and began to come up to speed. Fessenden looked intently at the motor and the assemblage of belts and pulleys attached to it. The drivetrain concluded with a pulley on the shaft of a specially built alternator. The unusual machine connected to all of this picked up speed, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 rotations per minute. Fessenden fell to the floor of the small building as he felt it shake and the alternator climb through its critical frequencies, smoothing out as it finally passed through each. He assured himself the belts would hold and that the unit would make 20,000 rotations per minute or more without flying apart. And in the night, in the silence, Reginald Fessenden opened up his Bible and he spoke the first words that would ever go out on AM radio. He sang a hymn, a carol, and then opened his Bible to Luke chapter 2 and for the first time transmitted in a human voice as he read, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Could you imagine being a sea captain miles out at sea, and all you had heard coming across that radio was beep, 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 beep. And then all of a sudden, in the most human of voices, "Good news of great joy for all people. A Savior has been born, and he is Christ the Lord." And that is what Christmas is about. Divinity wrapped up in humanity to bring the real message of God's grace and truth. A human voice, a human body, bringing the message of divinity. And so tonight we ask, what would it look like if God spoke to us? What would God say? What would it be like? And we celebrate. It looks like Jesus. It feels like Jesus. It sounds like Jesus. Because the message of God came in the person, in the flesh, in the meat of Jesus. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And tonight we can celebrate. We have heard from God, full of grace, full of truth, in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. And I hope that this powerful message might infiltrate your heart, your life, your family, and your celebration as we remember the light of the world, Word become flesh. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have chosen to reveal yourself in the clearest of terms, that you showed us what it would be like if you would come to speak to us by coming and speaking to us, that you would show us what you look like by coming and showing us, that we might know what God sounds like because you came and spoke to us in humanity. And so, God, tonight and over this Christmas season, it is our joy to remember the announcement of the good news of our Savior who had come, the Savior of the world, Lord of all, King of kings. It is to him that we give all the praise and glory tonight and always. It is his name in which we pray. Amen.